Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 499th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today. We're also brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to Cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And we're also brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Patreon. The guys just dropped their bonus behind-the-scenes episode of Sean winning $200,000. Plus, this week's pick'em prize is a free $250 Super Bowl square. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Patreon to join today.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to episode 499 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Going out to Don Ho, not the person fighting in the that we're going to be talking about today, but my old friend from high school who went by Don Ho, but it's a Tuan Ho. And his namesake is fighting on the card we're going to mention. We're going to break down for you today. So this goes out to you, all the Tuan Ho's in the world. Thank you for coming to the show. I'm Jeff Chalks Fox, the one and only Jeff Chalks. We have got an LFA event for you, a pretty solid one, even though the main event, half of it fell out over the past day or two. But we're still going to break down the top five fights of the night for LFA 176. Of course, I'm not doing it alone. I have the regional MMA expert himself, Daniel Gumby Vreeland, by my side. Hello, Mr. Vreeland.
Hey, so quick update on the half that main event falling out, too. So we're, of course, talking about the LFA 176 main event that was supposed to be Javier Garcia defending his belt against the man he just beat, Elijah Johns. It was going to be the first ever LFA title shot rematch, which I didn't realize. And if you watch the first one,
usually once you win the title, you're gone. You're to the UFC. So, yeah.
Well, and funny you should mention that. So, Garcia, first of all, the reason they did do the rematch, he had Elijah Johns in a very deep arm triangle. Johns didn't tap, seemed to be with it enough, and the ref stopped it for seemingly no reason, awarding a technical submission, despite the fact that Elijah Johns was very much still awake. So a very dumb stoppage, so they booked it again. And as Jeff said, you don't usually get to defend your title in LFA. You usually just head to the UFC, and it was announced via Garcia's Instagram last night that he would not be fighting next weekend in order to pursue the Ultimate Fighter, which it seems like he has been shortlisted as a tough 32 cast member. I don't know if he's officially been picked. I don't think he could even say he was officially picked, but I can't imagine him backing out of an LFA main event to like go on an interview. You know what I mean? So like, and then shortly thereafter, there was like a video he posted of, I want to say it was the Apex. It looked like, or like some sort of UFC headquarters sort of cage. And it seemed like he was doing the rounds, for the UFC. So looks like we will be seeing him sooner rather than later. And he's kind of a fun prospect for them to have, on the Ultimate Fighter, because he's like an actual prospect versus, you know, sometimes we get the Juliana Killer Millers on the Ultimate mm-hmm. Fighter, or the I mean, she and Muhammad Usman won the last Ultimate Fighter, so like, do with that what yeah. you will.
yeah, Gumby still watches. Gumby's still a fan. The whole family watches, right?
Yeah, yeah. My wife likes the drama.
All right. Hopefully, LFA 176. Johns versus Walker is not drama filled. Well, hopefully, it's exciting. It's going down on Friday, this coming Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFC Fight Pass. from the Arizona Financial Theater in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, in a cage, 11 bouts. We are doing the top five here. Anyone that we're not mentioning on this episode that you want to send a shout out to, or anyone we should keep an eye on?
Not really. Two of the ones we're going to talk about, I'm really excited about, but nobody really outside of that. It is it's a little bit thinner of a card than usual for LFA. Yeah. I mean, you'll see just by, you know, usually we do the top five fighters and there's not usually too many people I haven't heard of in there. There's mm-hmm. a handful here that I hadn't heard of, and a lot of, like, I mean, we're going to break down a 2-1 versus 1-2 fight at one point in time here. We usually don't get that in the top five fights, and it's actually the third from the top. So it is a little bit thinner of an LFA card than usual.
Yeah. Oh, before we jump into that, actually, we should talk Road to UFC. We forgot to last episode. I think we were worried about your Wi-Fi dying on us. I watched the fights. Some impressive performances there. I'm not sure if your picks all came through, though, did they?
Well, 1-2, but the one I got was a super favorite. So it did hurt our regional MMA record a little bit. I think I'm down to only being up 12 units so far this year. Darn. You know, just a huge bummer. Right, Satsura. It looks really good. And we actually got a really nice comment on YouTube filling us in on his skills and why it looks like he has so much more than just a Greco-Roman background, and it's because he does. He did all kinds of other wrestling and grappling circuits as well. The Greco-Roman one is just the one that he got, like, the most publicity for, so that, like, explains why it looks like he can blend all of his wrestling and grappling together, because he can, and has been doing all of them differently and separately, and then now can do them all together. So thank you. I wish I wrote down the name of the person, but thank you for the person who wrote that comment.
Luster alias zero, obviously.
Thank you. Thank you to that guy.
Alias zero. If you want to read his full comment, it's very good. I'm assuming he, even though we're what, 3% female now?
Yeah, we know. We're 3%
female. go to the Road to UFC event on YouTube and take a peek. And make sure you subscribe while you're there. That's good. We have a lot of people putting good comments in there. So I agree. He looked good. Saruri looked good. And then what? Yiza won.
Yiza looked really good. I would say I didn't think who was the other one who won? Rongzhu.
No, he looked good.
He looked all right. It was more
the takedowns, like, beat him up on the feet.
Yeah, but it was more like Shin just like wouldn't.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like he was blending things together all that well. He was just like desperately diving on the takedowns. So like, I mean, you know, then to Rongzhu's credit, he stuffed that, but I'm not sure how necessarily impressive he is. But Yiza looked really good. A lot of interesting new prospects out of Asia after this one.
Yeah.
So we'll be seeing them in the UFC soon, I'm sure.
Definitely. And obviously your Fury picks last night did fantastic too. We don't
even talk about that. Yeah, but they are. Yeah, they are. Just for anybody who is watching this and doesn't get the gag, or listening to this and doesn't get the gag, we are filming this on Sunday. So Fury Challengers has not happened at the time of recording this. No. But I'm sure I hit every single thing all the time anyway.
Are we watching it tonight? We're gonna watch it, right?
Yeah, I'll probably. Discard.
Oh no,
probably,
you're going out. You're not watching it.
I'll probably throw it on. On my phone.
Oh yes, I forgot where you're going. Yes, of course. you'll want to
for,
do
for those for those who aren't privy to this joke too. It's my in-laws, and I'd be very happy to watch low-level regional MMA on my phone.
It's true. It's such a cliche complaining about the in-laws. All right. Before we move on, before Gumby gets himself into even more trouble, because the whole family listens to our show and watches us, of course, I'm going to tell you about, who am I going to tell you about today? Looking for a super offer for Super Bowl 58? DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. New customers can bet on the big game and turn $5 into $200 instantly in bonus bets. All the lines are on DraftKings Sportsbook. I'm not going to give you any picks or lines, because I don't know anything about football at this point. So you just go in there, you find a line that looks good for you. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SGP. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 58 with code SGP. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Also, we're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, college football, MMA, tennis, they got it all. Golf, I assume, too. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite players' fantasy stats and cash in. You can win 100 times with some spicy plays. Spicy, medium, mild. What you got, Gumby?
Monday night, let's see. We got the Cavaliers playing the Kings. It seems like every game that's got the Kings in it involves 7 billion points. So let's take the best scorer on the Cavaliers. Let's go with Donovan Mitchell's higher than on his points.
Not a lot of defense in the NBA this season. So watch along, make your picks, and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. And when you sign up with the promo code SGPN, sorry, MMASGPN, we want credit for it. Underdog will double your first deposit of up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code MMASGPN.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
All right, we got you all teed up for LFA 176, and then I pulled away. I'm a tease, but now I'm actually going to break it down for you. We're going to start with fifth from the top, 3 5-minute rounds at middleweight, main card fight. Mansur Abdul Malik versus Alain St. Gilles in the battle of the hyphenated last names. We're going to start with, we don't have odds, right? I didn't have odds when I did the breakdown. No?
No, none I could find.
Okay. Wait, St. Jalais. 1-0 with one knockout. This is his LFA debut. He has not fought since September of 2020, so not a lot to go on there. Hopefully Gumby can fill in the blanks. Both these guys are from the States, by the way. Abdul Malik, 3-0 with three knockouts. This is his LFA debut as well. He's 8 years younger than St. Gilles. I don't have much here for you, Gumby. Hopefully you can color in here.
Yeah, I think this is a one-sided beatdown here. Abdul Malik is going to be like a negative 550 favorite, I think, against St. Gilles. St. Gilles, worth noting, 6'5" at middleweight. So he's a big, long, lanky dude, but he fights really upright, very clearly. He's got to have some kind of Muay Thai background. If you made me guess why he has not fought in 3+ years, my guess would probably be that he's been doing Muay Thai. Because it looks like he's got, you know, he looks good in the clinch and throws nice knees and all that, but like he fights upright and tall guy defense. I know somebody asked us to elaborate on what tall guy defense meant at some point in time.
You just so complain about it every episode.
I complain about it every episode. They're like, I must have missed it and I can't go back and find it. Could you please explain it to me? But what I just mean by that is like when you're a tall guy in the regional scene, typically what bad habits you fall into in terms of like defensive striking is you just like lean back every single time, Fat Joe style, to try to make sure that you don't get punched. I got a laugh out of Jeff. That's a rare one right there.
Yeah. That's a title too.
Fat Joe style. Joe style.
All right, go ahead.
But yeah, no, you just wind up like leaning back to avoid punches, and that's enough on the regional scene because people don't have a good sense of range. Then when people start to have a good sense of range or start to put together combinations, then you start leaving your chin out because just leaning leaves you exposed instead of doing the things that you're supposed to do to technically defend yourself. So Abdul Malik puts together nice combinations as he moves forward. I think that's trouble for St. Gelais. And he comes from a D1 wrestling background. He used to, now granted, not a really great record if you go back and you look at his time at the University of Maryland, but he was there for 2 years, won a couple of matches here and there, but like had the skill set to go D1 wrestling. And he was a really good amateur MMA fighter. I think he only had 2 or 3 fights in amateur MMA, but I watched him hit this like nasty, like 7-piece combination when he was fighting for Cowboy Cerrone's amateur promotion. I think it's called Cowboy Fight Series. So like he's been putting together a really good resume for some time. His hands look good. His wrestling looks good. He suplexed a guy in his last fight. Like, you know, like,
Nice.
Yeah, like Kurt Angle style. It was pretty awesome. So yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to say like -550 for Mansur Abdul Malik. And there's no reason not to pick him.
All right. Simple as that. Eh? All right. I already told the people about our first sponsors, right? I can keep moving on. I already forget. All right. Because Gumby's Wi-Fi may have gone out for hours and hours and hours. Another Frankenstein episode. Poor Gumby. All right. Light heavyweights. 3 5-minute rounds. The American, Alec Lorenz versus Nigerian, perhaps? Yes, Nigerian. Monte Dion Ogbonna Morrison. There is a name, Gumby.
He mostly goes, if it makes it easier on you, he mostly goes by Monte Morrison.
Okay. Like, that's boring, though. That sounds American.
He fought for, was it PFL? I think he fought for PFL and he was just Monte Morrison. When he fought for PFL.
Boring. I enjoy his other name. All right. Morrison is a python as well. He needs a nickname as well as 4 different names. He's 3-2 with 3 knockouts. Never been finished himself. So he owes us to be knocked out, I guess. Or submitted. Submitted. I'll accept submission as well. Dr. Stoppage. This is his LFA debut. He's lost 2 straight fights. He went 0-1 PFL, as Gumby mentioned. He was in there, and he has fought at middleweight before. Lorenz, 3-1 with 3 knockouts. He's been knocked out once, so he owes his rounds. This is what's going to happen here. Something's got to give. 1-0 in LFA. Won 2 straight fights, both via T/KO. Has not lost since October 2021. He's 4 years younger than Mr. Morrison. Okay. All you.
Yes. So I'm going to say Lorenz probably a slight favorite here based on his record and in a little bit better of competition and stuff like that. Although Morrison's losses came. He's lost recently, but to higher level of competition too. I think Lorenz maybe like -175. And I'm going to go with him here. The thing about Morrison is I just don't really like he does a lot of the simple things, right? Like, you know, he moves forward. He's, you know, got good footwork. He's kind of quick, but like he's not particularly powerful and his wrestling's not real great. And like, so he does a lot of like little things good, but like nothing that makes you say like, oh, he's a prospect for like X, Y, and Z. Whereas like Lorenz, I will say, I do think he's even quite slow for a light heavyweight. And obviously that's a problem, but he almost sort of makes up for it by just having like insane forward pressure and good footwork. It's so rare to see somebody who is really good at pressuring, but also not particularly fast. Like it's hard to like combine those two things together, but that's him here. And the other thing I will just say is he's got like really obvious knockout power. Lorenz, when he touches you, you go to sleep. And for those reasons, like that's kind of enough here against Morrison. Cause I think, like I said, Morrison does a lot of little things right, but isn't particularly threatening. I think against the guy who does have like some threats to finish the fight, you see the guy, you know, who can knock you out, be the one who comes out victorious.
So he's putting the python to sleep is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
All right. Maybe a name in the next fight that people may recognize. Leslie Hernandez. Yeah, that's a normal last name. Brittany Camozzi. That is not such a normal last name. It is a normal last name in MMA though. These are women's fighters, obviously 3 5-minute rounds, 115 pounds. Strawweight, Brittany Camozzi first,
She is the wife of who, Gumby?
Brian Camozzi.
Correct.
Not Chris. Brian, who had a much shorter stint in the UFC.
Right. All right. So that would make her the sister-in-law of Chris Gumby, who had a longer UFC career. There you go. Brittany Camozzi, 1-2 with one submission. She's lost most of fights via knockout, so she owes us rounds. Very definitely owes us rounds. 0-1 in LFA. Won her last fight via submission. Has not lost since October 2021. 2 inches taller than Hernandez. Hernandez 2-1 with one knockout. Never been finished in a fight. All those fights have taken place in LFA. And she dropped her debut and she's won 2 straight. And that's all I got.
So I'm going to say Hernandez probably the favorite here. Let's say -275. It's hard to line somebody who is 1-2 as anything except for a pretty exceptional underdog here. So we'll say Lightning +250 on the return for Brittany Camozzi. And I'm actually going to go with Camozzi here. My big dog swing of the week here is going to be Brittany Camozzi. And the reason being, if you look at her record, you might notice there was like a big gap in between her first 2 fights and her third one. And her third one being her victory. And she looked so much better. She looked like so many things had changed. She puts together her strikes really well. Like when she starts to land, she builds on those strikes and builds on those strikes and builds on those strikes and eventually starts to, like, you know, she's got a little bit of power for somebody who is as small as she is. And the other thing I really like about her too is she hit some like nice judo throws and wound up in some top control time in that fight as well. And if you watch Leslie Hernandez's fight, she, tell me if you've heard this trope before, she loves a head and arm throw.
Female fighter that loves a head and arm throw.
She's a big head and arm throw gal. In her fight, her last fight, she wound up on the bottom the first 2 head and arm throws she tried in bad positions. So like
that's another thing we've heard of before.
Right. And so when you take that and the fact that Brittany Camozzi is already good at like judo throws and stuff like that, I don't think there's a reason not to like Brittany Camozzi, especially if she does come in as dog money, as I think she's going to.
She has mom power now, Gumby. That's why there was a big gap between her fights. So,
I didn't even know that was true.
Yeah.
That's badass as hell. That's badass as hell, though.
Yeah. They have a little baby I've seen because I do my research sometimes. All right, Camozzi, what's the odds you said? It was -275. What do you think we're going to get back? I'm not doing the math in my head.
Like 250, +250.
Wow. That's fantastic. All right. Before I move on, I'm going to tell you about Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet. Bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes. And there's tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower vig and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for dollars. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. The rewards are you get cash back every single time you bet against your friends and other users. And/or Cut also allows you to list almost any kind of bet, perfect for getting action on those fun Super Bowl prop bets. Cut is the peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head to KUTT.com. That's KUTT.com and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We are also brought to you by Game Time. You shouldn't be stressed out buying tickets, especially last minute. You don't have to worry about all that anymore if you have the Game Time app, because they have everything you need to get tickets last minute, because Game Time is the place for last minute ticket deals. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Get exclusive flash deals and tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more, aka MMA. The Game Time guarantee means you always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section, enroll for less. Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It's the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. So here's what you need to do. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code, listen carefully, CFBX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CFBX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And Hall of Fame bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame bets. The sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. You can enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bet's revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bet's
to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to start to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. All right, let's move on, shall we, to the co-main event. Antoine Ho, a favorite of Gumby and our man Jong in the Discord. He's in the 3 5-minute round flyweight fight against Miguel Sanson. So Ho is from Vietnam, Sanson from the United States of America. Sanson is 4-1 with one knockout, never been finished in a fight. So he owes us finishes. Yes. All those fights have taken place in LFA. He did lose his last fight. That was back January of 2023. So he's been on the shelf for a bit. Inch height, 4 inches of reach over Ho. Ho is the highlight. And yes, he is definitely 5-0, 3 knockouts, 1 submission. All his fights have been in LFA as well. He won via knockout his last fight, a year younger than Sanson. Tell the people why we like Ho so much.
I mean, there's a billion reasons to like him. So he's an MMA Lab product, which already, you know, a little bit of a feather in your cap already, because I love the MMA Lab. But in addition to that, too, he's just like, you don't see a prospect this well-rounded, this young. You know, 5-0, absolutely phenomenal striker. The way he steps in, he's one of those guys who uses feints really well and is also like he'll throw his right-handed strikes from an orthodox stance and then will land in a left-handed stance and then stay there for a while just to keep the other person thinking. And he's just as deadly with his left-handed stuff as he is his right. So at this young, that's pretty tricky. And then when you add in there too that he can wrestle in either stance and wrestle really well in either stance, it really makes him like an absolute anomaly for these people who are like, you know, he's fighting guys who are what's it? It's like 4-1, 3-1. Like that is something you don't face that often when you have that kind of record. So Anho to me, just like the complete package, this guy should be in the UFC already. You know, he has, I mean, you mentioned he won his last fight by knockout. He slapped the dude with a right hand in that fight. And like, I mean, like we're talking about guys with power at flyweight that I do not see at much larger weights. So, you know, like we talked about Monte Morrison before at light heavyweight and saying he didn't have a lot of put away power. He's got like 1/8 of the put away power that Anho has at 125 pounds. So like I'm all in on Anho. And the reason I like him here against Sanson too is Sanson's a fun striker. He's got a lot of like push kicks, side kicks. He throws the low leg kick really well, you know, like on the feet. Excellent prospect. In fact, like a lot of people had him pegged to be like a UFC level guy in the near future too. And then he ran into Mark Clamaco, who is of course on road to the UFC, didn't win it, but was on road to the UFC. And the wrestling of Clamaco just like overwhelmed Sanson to the point where Sanson had no answer. And I think Ho's a better wrestler. I think Ho is a better wrestler than Mark Clamaco, and he's definitely a more well-rounded fighter. He's got more knockout power. I think this is a nightmare matchup here for Sanson. I think you're probably going to see, because Sanson has fought some like high-level dudes, probably Ho at like negative 235 still, because people know what a prospect this guy is. But my guess is whatever it posts at, it'll double by the time the fight rolls around. Like if you see him post at negative 235, you better get on it when it posts, because he'll be negative 400 by fight time.
Once our Discord gets in on it, then it's gonna balloon.
They'll That's move
problem. On. We move lines. It's true. All right, let's move on to the main event. The makeshift main event is for the LFA Featherweight Championship. Elijah Johns, the champion, up against Alfred Walker, stepping in on short notice, 5 5-minute rounds at featherweight. Actually, no, Johns is not the champion, right? This is vacant now.
Vacant. This is vacant because it was Javier Garcia's.
You described it. Yep. All right. Walker, Freight Train is a nickname, 12-6, 7 knockouts, 2 submissions, knocked out once, submitted 5 times. So he's been finishing all his losses, he owes his rounds. This is his, he's taking this fight on short notice, like a week or so notice. 1-0 in LFA, he's won 3 straight and 6 of 7. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Crack at the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Used to fight at lightweight, 2012 pro MMA debut, 5-1 in kickboxing and the champion in that realm as well. Johns, 9-3 with 3 knockouts. He's been submitted 1 time, 7-3 in LFA. He's won 2 of 3 and 7 of 9. He did lose his last fight via submission. That's the fight company was telling you about off the top. He's 9 years younger than Walker, an inch taller. I assume this is going to be some pretty big odds here.
Yeah, I think you're going to see like negative 350 on Johns. And I'm going to pick him here too. I think Walker, So first of all, Walker's a lot better than his record suggests. He's coming off a win over Landry Ward, who is a prospect in his own right. It was a split decision, kind of a tough one to call. Walker is pretty talented on the feet. All of those, like I said, all those losses came kind of early in his career. So like the recent record's a lot better looking than the actual record. And I like the way he strikes and stuff like that. Here are my two big worries about him. He looked tired at the end of that Landry Ward fight. And Elijah Johns has got good cardio and could probably go five rounds without even getting his heart rate up. And then number two, I really like the counters from Elijah Johns. He throws a big left hand. It's cracking. And especially when somebody overextends themselves a little bit, like I kind of expect Walker to here. So I like Johns. It'll be big for him to not have to worry about the wrestling that he worried about in his last fight. Because Walker's not going to threaten him with any wrestling here. I even think Johns might be able to use a little bit of wrestling if he really wanted to. I would say Elijah Johns kind of reminds me. I would say he reminds me a little bit of his brother, and but like more boxing and more counter striking. Walker, I think, is just going to play right into that.
All right. So what was the odds again? Well, minus 350.
I said negative 350. Yep. Yeah. And I'm going to say this too about this fight, because, you know, I always like, especially when we're talking about guesstimating odds here on fight week, it's always important to talk about this. I think Johns is going to be a big favorite. And I think if those odds are up there, this is a dog or a pass spot, because while I do think he wins this fight and I think the counters are going to be there, he shouldn't be that big of a favorite. And he will mostly just be that big of a favorite because Walker's record sucks and he's taking the fight on short notice. So it'll balloon, but I do think he's super game. And if you're out there thinking like, oh man, I might actually like the money on Walker here, I don't think you're crazy for liking that either. I think Johns is going to win, but negative 350 is nuts. And I bet you that's where it comes in at.
All right, there you go. Let's recap here. Gumby's got Johns, Ho. He's got Kamozi. He's got Lorenz. He's got Abdul Malik. Did I get all those right?
No, that's right.
All right. Usually I say we'll be back on Wednesday with the UFC, but no, we're going to be back on Tuesday. We got a bonus episode coming to your ear holes for you tomorrow. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we shall be in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Make sure you also subscribe to our YouTube channel from all your accounts on YouTube. That would be MMA Gambling Podcast, obviously, on YouTube. Twitter, SGP and MMA, Gumby runs that for us. He's Gumby Vreeland. I'm a Jeff Fox writer on Twitter and Instagram. I got my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. Get in there, enter my free pick'em contest I run for the UFC. Gumby's got Top Turtle MMA Podcast. Who's on it this week? Gumby, do we know?
We know one for sure, although we're working on the scheduling of the second one right now because my internet's been a little finicky. But for sure, one of the two interviews will be Devin the Brown Bear Clark, who's got a fight coming up. And so then the second one will be a mystery for you.
I forgot all about that guy. We haven't seen him for a while, have we? Brown Bear?
Yeah, I think he's been out for about 8 months. As a matter of fact, okay. I'm pretty sure I asked him a question about that now that I'm remembering it.
There you go. All right. So make sure you get that in your ear holes and go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com for all our writings and our podcasts and all that good stuff. And sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon so we can crush corporate gambling. We'll be back Tuesday. I'm going to let Gumby say goodbye to you this time. Go ahead, Gumby.
All right. I'm Diddy Gumby Vreeland. He's the highlight, Jeff Fox. And we will see you on Tuesday.